Maybe you like more heartbeats in your house, or maybe you reach for the bug spray when you hear the scuttle of a roach, the buzz of a fly, or the pitter-patter of little centipede feet. The history of human arthropod relations is a rocky one, we know. Call it a war on bugs. A recent study puts the conflict in perspective. It tallied arthropods living in human homes. Arthropods are insects, spiders, flies, mites, fleas, centipedes, millipedes, crustaceans, and much more. Pretty much everything creepy or crawly. A bunch of entomologists actually went room by room in dozens of homes, collecting and counting all the arthropods they could find, dead or alive. The average, more than 100 species per house. That's 100 distinct species, not 100 specimens. Results were written up in a paper out this month in the journal PeerJ. It's called Arthropods of the Great Indoors, Characterizing Diversity Inside Urban and Suburban Homes. The work was done by researchers at North Carolina State, the California Academy of Sciences, and the North Carolina Museum of the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences. One of the co-authors joins us now to talk about the findings and about making peace with the biodiversity in your home. Dr. Michelle Troutwine is an entomologist at the California Academy of Sciences, where she is the Schlinger Chair of Dipterology. Welcome, Dr. Troutwine.
Hi, thanks.
Dipterology, not a term I'm familiar with. What is it?
Flies.
Okay.
I study flies, yeah.
All right. So the things that are arthropods, and Mr. Berger in seventh grade pointed out, it's a huge phylum. I mean, there's just a lot of different things in here, isn't there?
Right, yes. Actually, arthropods dominate the world. There's more species of arthropods than any other group of multicellular life. So they're in charge.
So it's a segmented body, exoskeleton, no...
Yeah,
no,
a lot of legs, a lot of antennae, you know, anything that's kind of creepy crawly. So that includes the insects and also spiders, centipedes, millipedes, crustaceans, all the good stuff.
It's always refreshing when somebody with a PhD says creepy crawly. That's a good one. So let's talk about the starting point for the investigation.
Okay. So basically, we... just got this perspective that we know a lot about pest species in our houses, but we don't know a lot about the other things living with us. So at the time, my colleague Rob Dunn at NC State in North Carolina was exploring microbial diversity in homes, and I think we could all recognize pretty easily that, we don't know what microbes are living in our houses. But at the same time, we then just thought, gosh, we could take this to another level. We don't even know what animals are living in our houses. And so it just seemed like a really fun way to make some cool discoveries and get people excited about thinking about, kind of biodiversity all around them.
Was there a bit of a workup to it? I can just imagine small-scale show-and-tells, here's what I found in my house, that kind of thing.
Actually, we just dove right in. And I think after just the first house, we started to get pretty excited.
So what were you finding? First of all, how did you set it up? I mean, you had, was it 30-some-odd, 50 homes? I forget.
It was 50 houses, and actually, I have to say, we thought that we were really going to have to do a lot of coercing of, our friends and colleagues and family members to, kind of force force ourselves into people's houses, because it's a pretty invasive study. We spent a lot of time on our hands and knees all over, areas of people's houses that probably most people don't go to. But then it turns out we had a little bit on the local news, and overnight we had over 400 volunteers. So people were so excited to let us into their houses and to have us tell them, what was living inside. So that was actually really great.
Wow, they were volunteering to have people look at their dust bunnies and all the other stuff.
Yes. And dust bunnies we definitely saw. Yeah.
No doubt. So, but this was all in North Carolina?
Right.
Okay, so even in that smaller radius, then with 50 homes, and this is like within 30 miles of NC State or something
of downtown, yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So even in that smaller radius, how many different species turned up?
So close to 600 different species, and to be honest, it's likely a pretty conservative estimate. So we likely found many more than that. But, there's over a million species of arthropods, and so actually putting names to faces is really hugely challenging. So we just made really conservative estimates about the number of species we found.
Oh, so there actually could be more than that.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I can't imagine. So I can see now why there has to be dipterology, because somebody needs to understand just the fly part of things, and somebody else can understand the bees, and somebody else can get the ants, because it sounds like just within those realms there are so many different things.
Yes, absolutely. So, for example, flies, most people think of house flies or fruit flies, but there's 150,000 species of flies that are known. Actually, flies kind of got me excited about this project because, as we found, there are more fly species associated with houses than any other group of arthropods. And so, some houses in one living room we may find, 20 different families of flies, which is just a huge, huge amount of diversity within one kind of group of insects. So the flies are a pretty exciting part of the story, and they obviously have a deep affinity for humans in their houses.
No doubt. We feed them pretty well, don't we? Dr. Michelle Troutwine's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, entomologist at the California Academy of Sciences, and she's part of a study that looked at arthropods in our homes with a study in North Carolina. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange, and maybe you got some arthropod stories of things you found under your couch or behind the toaster or under the washing machine or any of those places, or maybe right out there in the open, or maybe on fly strips. Do you have those? Join us on the Exchange with your story at 800-838-3760. Questions welcome as well. Those can also go to jx@jeffnet.org. So nearly 600 species, by a conservative estimate, just across these 50 homes. Not all in a single home, though, right?
No. So in a single home, we may come back with, after we collect or sample, we may come back with several hundred specimens. But we found on average just over 100 species per house.
Wow.
Which is still quite a bit.
Yeah, no doubt. So was that a surprise even to you?
Yes. And it was a team of entomologists that we had sampling houses. And these were all, very skilled, experienced bug people that, all had PhDs in entomology. And I think we were all really surprised and excited by the kind of things we found in houses.
So, yay, biodiversity under our roof, or ew, depending on how you feel about this.
Both, uh-huh. Right?
So I have this vision, though, when you talk about how many different species there are of you guys being kind of like us out in the wild with our bird manuals or something, trying to figure out, what is this thing here?
Oh, definitely. It was a big mystery, and Matt Bertin, who's the lead author of this study, he is a identification expert, and it was like a huge mystery because he would come back with, for example, like a tiny piece of a wing or a piece of a leg, but because he knows so much about identifying different types of bugs, he could see, he could tell like, oh yeah, I know this belongs to this family just by this tiny little bit of evidence. So it was each one was a great puzzle.
No doubt. Now, I noticed it was universal throughout the house. Very few rooms of all the rooms you sampled had no critters in them at all.
Right. Which, and also, I don't know if you noticed, but we sampled houses that had regular pesticide treatments. We sampled houses that had regular house cleaners. So, this is really a universal phenomenon. We've been living and evolving with arthropods since our origins, and arthropods much longer, right? They're, hundreds of millions of years old. And so there's just no stopping them. They're going to find their way into our houses.
I was going to ask you about the circumstance of the houses. So some of them get regular treatments and everything and are clean pretty thoroughly too, it sounds like. And yet, I think out of something like, 554 rooms or something, there were five that had no arthropods at all in them.
And I do have to point out that a lot of the arthropods that we collect aren't things that probably the normal homeowner would notice. A lot of these things are very, very small, flies that are just a millimeter in size or tiny book lice that, again, are like a moving speck of dust. So, for example, if you walked by it in your house, there's no way you'd even notice it. We had to look pretty hard for a lot of these things. But that was, that was part of the excitement for us.
How were they collected? I mean, how did you guys outfit yourselves, and what were the collection devices?
These were really intense indoor expeditions. So when we would go into houses, we looked like we could be going off, into the middle of the jungle somewhere. We were ready for anything. We had vests full of vials. We had nets. We had headlamps. We had knee pads. And our most important, forceps to pick up things. And our most important tool was something called an aspirator, or some people call it pooter, which is a kind of more funnier name, but it's kind of like a long tube, a straw sort of thing, hooked to a vial, and you use it to suck up tiny bits. And so we use that. So for example, we'd go along baseboards, or think about like your stairs along each step or windowsills, and kind of just suck up all the little bits that might be accumulating in those places. And turns out we take them back to the scope, and there'd actually be a lot of arthropod diversity in all that little bits of debris.
And, I mean, in some cases, were you using the suction device in places where you couldn't actually see anything there necessarily?
Yeah, definitely. So again, just getting little bits that you're not exactly sure if that's arthropod or someone's, you know, cookie crumb. But when you get it back to the microscope, you can get a better sense.
Let's take a call here. We have Rebecca in Junction City on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with entomologist Michelle Troutwine about arthropods in the house. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi. I live up in the country, in the hills up here, and I live in an old place, and I have tons of different kinds of insects and things in my house all the time. And I just let them be. They're endlessly entertaining. I can sit and watch spiders figure out ways to attack other flying things. It's just, it's so much fun. So I just love them.
Oh, you're a woman after my own heart.
Yeah, they're great.
All right. Thanks for the story, Rebecca. Appreciate that. So has anything quite like this ever been done before, Michelle?
No, it hadn't, which was part of the thrill for us, that here these very common, very familiar spaces, are still are kind of also unexplored ecosystems, and that was really thrilling for us that we could make scientific discoveries so close to home, literally.
Right in the home, in fact.
Yeah. Yeah.
Throw away your TV. You have all this diversity and so on. So let's dig a little deeper. Yes, there's a lot of diversity. I mean, on average, around 100 species per home and 600 different species just in the radius of the homes in which you did this, but not all of them living, it turns out.
Yes, that's right. And that's a good point to make, to not really freak people out. So a lot of this is aren't species that are well adapted to your houses, right? They're not species that are kind of living and thriving and breeding in your houses. They're things that, come in through the window or the door and can't live inside, and so they die on your windowsill. I call them ill-fated tourists. And so also when we're sampling houses, we're collecting things that have this, like, cumulative arthropod diversity, right? That's built up over time. So even if you clean your house really well, you might not realize that, this little space between your carpet and your baseboard is a great little place for dead arthropod bodies to build up. And so they may have been building up for years there, and we'd go by and sample. So it's a little bit different than thinking about 100 species that are all kind of currently making your house their home.
So just to get an idea of what we're literally looking at here, I mean, it sounds like much of this is not particularly plain to the naked eye by any stretch of the imagination, that we're looking at what might look like smudges of dust or something that really are piles of dead arthropods or something.
Oh, I wouldn't say piles, but I mentioned that we would be able to use any evidence of an arthropod. So, for example, if we get a little piece of like a roach egg case, that we could identify. It might look like a piece of dust or a piece of a leaf or something to someone else. But, if we look at it under the scope, we can recognize, like, oh, that's a roach egg case. Or, again, just bits that really are kind of debris of long-dead arthropods.
Well, was the majority of them dead?
I would say probably most, yeah, mm. Most. And for example, like, we would collect in spider webs where spiders had been accumulating dead bodies over time. So, just those dark corners of your house that, you probably haven't looked at often or recently, we would be able to go in and get a lot of good stuff.
You mentioned the ill-fated tourists that might blow in through the window and just sort of die on the windowsill, but I gather some of them got a little further into the house, and there are some interesting transport mechanisms here. Tell us about some of the more exotic ones in that vein.
Inside houses?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that generally we were really surprised about the fact that we could find kind of rare, interesting things that we hadn't seen out in the wild inside houses. So, again, as a team of entomologists that have been collecting for over a decade, there were certain things that we found in houses that we had never seen before, and that was really fun. One of our favorites was this little tiny, tiny cricket that's just millimeters in size, called an ant-loving cricket that lives in ant colonies.
And that's really the name, the ant-loving cricket?
Yeah, ant-loving cricket. You should Google it. It's an adorable little creature. really, it is. It's the world's smallest kind of grasshopper or cricket. And we found them, I think, in about 5 kitchens that happened to also have ant infestations. And so so things like that were really fun. Just the fact that our houses, contain as many surprises as the wild in some ways.
So does it live voluntarily among the ants? And yeah. I mean, they get along okay? It's not a parasitic relationship or anything?
Yeah, no, it lives. Somehow it can sort of invisibly exist among ants. That's probably a whole other story in itself, which I don't know much about. And to be honest, I mean, there were so many. That was one of the most amazing things to me, that when you know all the life histories of these creatures, which of course we don't, you know, we know a handful of them. But, you know, they all of them have this really bizarre and interesting life histories that, you know, we have yet to learn about. You know, the spitting spiders were another one of our favorites. These are spiders that, you know, can actually spit their, you know, venom up to a centimeter to kill their prey. And, you know, all the while, this is like right behind your, you know, your light fixtures while you're watching television, this, you know, spider spitting its venom. It's incredible to think about. A lot of parasitic wasps and other things that are, you know, laying eggs, and their larvae are burrowing out of the bodies of other insects and arthropods. Exciting stuff.
It truly is. So let's put a few people's minds at ease. How big are the spitting spiders? And humans are not among their prey, I'm assuming.
No. No, but I have to say, spitting spiders are pretty big.
Are they really?
Yeah, you'd notice it. You know, yeah, a couple centimeters. It's, you know, it's a big enough spider that most people would probably prefer to see it outside of their house.
We're talking to Michelle Troutwine at the California Academy of Sciences. She's an entomologist and the Schlinger Chair of Dipterology, about the study of arthropods inside our homes done in North Carolina. She was part of that with the folks at NC State. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760. Questions that you need answered, or things you want to tell us about arthropods in your house, 800-838-3760, or jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned flies are pretty common. Like, was that the bulk of what you found?
So the biggest, you know, I think in our paper we have a figure, the biggest piece of the pie when you look at all the specimens we collected were flies. And if you look at the type of diversity, there were also the most types of flies. So there's not only a lot of flies in your house, but a lot of different types. And again, some of them are very, very small. So actually one fly that we found in every single house we sampled is a tiny, super tiny fly, just, you know, millimeters, called a gall midge. And it probably doesn't live inside your house. My colleague calls it air plankton, right? It probably just sort of floats in. But because of that, you know, we found them, again, in every house. And this is a fly that most people have never even heard of, yet, you know, it's in all of our houses.
The gall midge, you know, there are midges that travel around Upper Klamath Lake in Oregon that just splatter all over your car and stay there forever, it seems like.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, really. So let's come back to the specifics. Because this was done in North Carolina, and what time of year was it done?
In the summer. So we were definitely trying to maximize diversity.
All right, so that raises the question of how different this might be if done in the winter in Minnesota or the middle of the summer in Arizona.
Yeah, I think to some degree there would be definitely seasonal variation and geographical variation, and that's something we're looking into right now. I've moved to San Francisco, and we're expanding the study, and we're actually making it a global study. We're calling the Seven Continent Study, and we're sampling houses in San Francisco, and then also at sites on the rest of the continents, and we're looking at places that you know, differ in their geography, differ in the type of housing, just to get a sense of how this arthropod diversity varies all over the world and in different housing types, and just to get this bigger picture of how humans have been living and evolving with arthropods. And to get to your question more specifically, I would say, for example, where you are, there's probably not as much diversity as the southeastern United States, but at the same time, some of these things are probably universal in the sense that they're really well adapted to living in houses, and that's especially a lot of the tiny stuff. So, for example, the dust mites, a lot of the tiny flies, the tiny book lice, these are things that do really well in human houses. A lot of the spiders, ants, and they're going to probably be found in houses all over the world, no matter where you are.
All right, let's take some calls. We have Paul in Grants Pass on the line. Welcome to the exchange with Michelle Troutwine.
Good morning, Dr. Troutwine. The one thing I can say is that an arthropod-filled house is a healthy house.
Oh, good.
That's the way I look at it. Kind of like, you know, Jeff, the clean desk is a sign of a sick mind.
Right.
And I really do feel that way. I've got wolf spiders that show up, a lot of jumpers up here. Jumping spiders, uh-huh. That kind of thing inside, highly mobile. I built a house with radiant floor heat, and for the first couple of years, I had anthills that were down in there, and they've gone away. I don't know what happened to them. We didn't, you know, I will not, you know, use an insecticide or something along those lines.
Yeah.
But it really is, to me, it's a sign of a healthy house. We put the black widows gently outside if one happens to find its way in, something mm-hmm. like that. But the dangerous ones, but most of them are quite benign and in my opinion, very beneficial.
So generally live and let live?
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks for that, Paul. Appreciate that. Let's go to Bill in Arcata. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Michelle Troutwine.
Oh, thank you. This is a comment about the ant-loving crickets.
Uh-huh.
There are blue butterflies in Europe whose caterpillars convince ants that they are ants. The ants carry the caterpillars down inside their nest where the caterpillars eat the ants' pupas. There used to be a species in England. It went extinct. They tried to reintroduce it, and there was a butterfly enthusiast who was a purist about native species. He caught every adult he could find and ran them extinct again.
Oh.
Wow, that's an amazing story. Thanks for sharing that, Bill. Appreciate that. The idea of carrying a caterpillar back to an ant nest and then it ends up eating the ant pupa. But this is fairly common in the world of entomology, isn't it?
And a lot of things like to trick the ants. You know, the ants are good workers, so if you can figure out a way to trick them and get them to work for you in one way or another, it's... much to your benefit.
All right, so this the sum here, because we're just about to go. Is there anything people need to be concerned about? It sounds perfectly natural to have arthropods in your home, but, I mean, I can't imagine you're also suggesting that people encourage to have more spiders in their home or something.
No, and in fact, you know, I often remove the spiders in my home, but I liked the opinion of this previous caller. I don't remember his name, but...
Paul.
Yeah, just the idea that we have this ecosystem in our houses and that there's something about the diversity that could be potentially beneficial. You know, we've learned so much about the microbial diversity on our bodies and how important it is to our health and in our guts. And you know, maybe there's something about having a diverse life in your house that keeps your environment in balance.
We can certainly hope so, because they're there. Arthropods in the house. Michelle Troutwine is an entomologist at the California Academy of Sciences, where she's the Schlinger Chair of Dipterology. She was part of the team that produced the report out in Pier J. Michelle, thanks so much for joining us on The Exchange.
Thanks so much for having me. It was great.
All right, take care.